to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And, you know, for one lucky politician, Ashburton was her start. And she became a female prime minister in this country, didn't she?
Jenny Shipley.
Seen her on the cover of the latest Women's Weekly?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
And look, I've got to say, I've got...
Wow.
I lack the regard for her that seems to imply I should have. I just don't.
No, it doesn't. It's not a regard thing. It's quite the opposite. I don't know what they're trying to do there. But anyway, behind David Slack has joined me in the studio for what is the very final Breakfast Show political commentary segment of the year.
Morena.
And I couldn't be more stoked. Thanks very much, David. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Well, remember when we were doing this and not that long ago? Yeah, and looks like we were going to have a massive, great, big juggernaut of the same party was going to get back in again. So the reigning government, and I say reigning because they're there for 9 years, it looked like a given. It just to every single person in this country, bar one or two, maybe, who really were just trying to upset the apple cart anyway, weren't they?
It filled me with despair is the wrong word, but ennui.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the looked like the imminent implosion and destruction of the opposition party, the party that was formed so many years ago, to counteract
all of those things.
That was just going to happen.
Inevitable sense about it. This motion that couldn't stop, and it's just astonishing how swiftly things can shift. And This is a universal truth, of course. You know.
Welcome to 2017.
You think everything in your world is solid, and actually, it takes not all that much to completely unhinge it. And here was the truth of it in politics, and thank Christ for that.
Because party time, exactly. You know, it was all on. You know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People like yourself that actually, you know, can make a career out of it. I suppose. I guess. Which sort of went, oh, choice, now I've got to go, oh, no, we're really busy. And still to this day, it's not stopping, is it?
Yeah, when you've got a column to write each week, you are always grateful for things changing.
Yeah.
And for something interesting to happen. But actually, I'm being a bit glib about that because, you know, most of the reason I write a column is because I want to talk about what grieves me and what I'd like to see change. And, you know, I genuinely believe that we do better when we all pull together and we support one another instead of being fiercely selfish and faithful to the creed of Margaret Thatcher had that, you know, no such thing as society. Well, that's bullshit. You know, there's nothing so fulfilling and heartwarming as seeing people support one another. And, you know, at the worst of times, like, say, the Blitz, people remember the being in the Blitz in the Second World War in London as, notwithstanding that was terrifying, as one of the best experiences of their life because humanity came together and everybody was in it together.
Queen Mum came down.
Yeah. You know? And we really respond and we really work better and life is better when we know that we're in it together. And that is the creed of the, you know, left political thinking, that you actually help one another instead of saying let the market decide, which in my opinion is complete bullshit.
Which on the creed for the right then would be, oh my God, they're idiots, they don't know what they're talking about. Would that be right?
I suppose it is that effort, I think, is what they maintain is what is necessary, and that if you have any kind of socialist arrangement, people don't make an effort.
Right. And I heard the only time I tried to ring Leighton Smith this year. Done it before. That's the other terrible, eh? Yeah, it has been a couple of times over the years. Once on the way to work as well. On the way to BFM.
Okay, help yourself.
But no, I can't though. He does my head in. He's like, he said the greatest disease of the 20th century was the slow ebbing, re-welcoming of socialism. And now
pitch perfect pauses there, by the way.
And I'll tell you why after the break. I've got Jan on the line. Jan, so Pilates is going well and sleep drops.
Resveratrol.
I'm sure he earnestly and fondly believes it.
No, he doesn't.
But
he doesn't. My favourite Leighton Smith quote ever is, mark my words, we'll be, this country, everyone in this country will be learning the Quran in 5 years. It's going to happen.
Actually said
this. Yes, I'll just, no, I'll never forget. And if I hear the words children's commissioner one more time, I'll kill myself. That's what he said.
Yeah, well, okay. Hyperbole, I'll buy.
We know he drinks.
But here's the thing.
Yep.
If you genuinely didn't, if you were genuinely cynical, if you genuinely didn't believe the shit you were talking about, climate skepticism, that has got to be the most cynical act you could ever pull. Because here we're talking about the imperilment of humanity on the planet, and he's saying, "Oh, for ratings, I'll pretend I don't give a fuck."
Yeah, you know? It's appalling, and that's exactly why. That's exactly why it does it. And so we've got this situation where this rambunctious young woman,
yes,
who basically was forced into leadership, it would seem, from her ailing party, has managed to glamour, to use a vampire term, the nation, enough of the nation, but according to some other people, not enough of the nation, but enough of the nation to be a position herself in the most important seat in the country.
Well, that's a good
having
point.
Having done that, I think, or having done that without being a prick to anyone.
Yes.
I think that's the most important thing about it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, well, two really significant points. Then the first being, who does she represent? And let's bear in mind, the median age of people in New Zealand now is, I forget the exact number, but it's something like 36 male and 38 female. And right. So, or 39. She's right in the middle of that. She is
represent.
The face. Yeah, represent. And that
like
is,
I said to her Monday, she hasn't even had a 40th. That's so weird.
And so that actually means that for a whole lot of people, they get this feeling that here's somebody who lives the experience they know. And that's a huge thing in politics and in representation and in democracy. So that's really important.
Are there many world leaders that live with their boyfriend? I'm asking two astute people here on the Super Bowl.
Would never glue might. I don't know if. Clutching at straws. Yeah. I would not know.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, yes.
But the other point I was going to agree with you about is this proposition that she doesn't piss anybody off. I mean, that is her nature. She is astonishingly good at carrying people along, disagreeing without rancor, letting people. The best example, I think, is that time she was scolding Mark Richardson on the AM show. You know, she really served it to him, but at the end she said, "Good debate," or something like that. You know, she
and a perfect indication of the country, it didn't faze him at all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She served him, but there is that.
Not moved.
That was very obvious over the election. Sorry to interrupt you, David, but I did. during the election of, there's just some people are never going, no matter what you put in front of them, and never going to change their mind. You know,
and that's
people are guilty of that on both sides, or both.
That's
sort of
right.
Ways of thinking.
I actually had a picture of that in a column this week, sort of trying to sum up the year when I was saying that I thought that, you know,
it's a great column, by the way.
One of the most striking features of this year was that we had these various instances where we were invited to imagine what it's like to live other people's lives, whether it was the tin tomatoes controversy, which essentially is saying, can you actually imagine what it's like to be fleeing from an abusive relationship and getting sanctuary in a refuge, and do you think you're going to be concentrating on thrifty home economics at such a point, for fuck's sake?
Yeah.
And also Matiria Ture talking about the proposition that, you know, regardless of what forensic analysis might reveal about how right or wrong she was in what she said, the larger point she was making was it's so bloody hard to try and get by on the benefit that people will find, depending on how things bounce, that they need to break the law or they need to bend the rules. And that point got lost.
Which is a real shame. And I mean, I guess if it hadn't got lost, maybe the election would have turned out a different way.
Well, true.
You know, but I think we'll forever look back on that particular moment in New Zealand politics and go, and people have their own opinions about how important it was and to what extent and who it benefited from. But it was a serious moment, wasn't it?
And as well as that, you had the Me Too thing. So here were the oh, sorry, I'm marginalising it. That was profound. You know, yeah. here was a proposition where you were given clearer testimony that said, this is what it's like to live this life, that this is the kind of thing that people will do to you day in, day out, all over the place, without end, and how would you like that life? And so here are all these propositions that say, imagine living this life, not your more comfortable one.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? And the response has been by people like, say, Mark Richardson, oh,
work hard,
get a hold of yourself. So this is where we land at the end of the year. And millions of people who haven't actually shifted their mind despite all of that evidence. So, you know, and that's a lot of work to do.
Like you say, it is actually a global thing, though, because look at the refugee issue.
Yeah.
Like you say, you know, can you even imagine that the country where you've lived, your family have lived and built and whatever, you know, to what extent your life there, and for how many thousands of years in some cases, to be so bad, you have to just go. You go and never look back. Drop everything you've got, go, never look back, and hope to hell that you find the something that'll keep you alive.
Really, really, you know, try and imagine that. Really try.
Yeah, and like, because I don't think a lot of the world can is entertaining the how realist taking it in a way where they actually let the reality of it burn
sink
into
in.
Their psyche, because I think it's really important. Yeah,
movies. Movies change these. Do you,
The
Killing Fields, for example. Until I saw The Killing Fields, and I'm making a reference to an older one here for a lot of people listening, possibly. But here was one.
Platoon, even.
To
go really commercial.
Yeah. And suddenly you think, oh, Christ, now I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Gallipoli.
So you're advocating for empathy at possibly the best time of year to do
so. This is why I don't get it. Why the fuck doesn't everybody advocate for empathy? Why? This is what does my head in.
I've got things to do.
All right, Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah. I just
Is that my new nickname?
Donnie Rummer.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, you know. Genie. At a certain point, and this is the marvel of great creative accomplishment, you actually make it possible for people to say, oh shit, now I can imagine what it's like to live that life. And that can actually shift political thinking and political perspective.
There might be some people that are thinking, shut up lefties, listen to you.
Oh, that's what
listen
I
listen to you. They're filth, they're scum, and you what does it? But and then I just think to myself, I hope you had a good time in Europe, Todd Barclay. You like what? That's a disgusting villainy souffle, isn't it?
Yeah, well, why don't we all just refuse to say anything when we're being investigated and see if the police will go away?
Todd Barclay, of course, is the National Party MP, no longer National Party MP, but the MP for a long time, and also Bill English's family's neighbour. Which I think is so funny.
And also,
funny at the same time.
And also the second of two MPs that the National Party put into Parliament whose previous experience was lobbying for the death industry, that is to say tobacco.
And who was fingered.
It would appear just about anything to draw salary.
And I was looking at some of the earlier stories about him recording people in his office, in his National Party electorate office. Initially, it was he left a phone on, or something. It was an answer phone he left on. No, it turns out it was actually cameras and stuff they put in there, especially
God
for
almighty.
It. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Now, Simon, or Bill English. Why is he called Simon? I don't know, Mikey Havoc, why?
Some people have two first names. Sometimes it's
I don't even know that. We didn't even
patronymics
do that
thing. Sometimes they don't want it.
I don't understand what that means.
Sometimes they go with their middle name. Name of the father.
Name of the father. Matronymics, name of the mother.
My mother was very upset that her parents decided to name her after her mother named her after one of her mother's sisters, because it was of that generation and definitely not of hers, and therefore she was christened Enid Penelope, and she's been Penny her whole life.
Yep,
and don't you dare try to do it anything
other way.
My grandma
is the same. My grandma, who passed away at the ripe old age of 107.
Holy crap.
I know. Faculties intact too, she's lovely. Her name was Zella.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, you're just not going to get a lot of Zellas growing up. But then, Lord. That's Ella with the, you know, Zella without the Z.
That's very good. It's very true.
And you know, my grandma just grew up and basically made all the land behind Tagpur and Grammar available for the school.
Holy.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, and then Tagpur and Grammar, I mean, you know, I'm just saying with Lord and basically it's our family made her.
She's just staking a claim for the North Shore there, Mike.
Yeah. Can I just get one for the North Shore? North Shore!
Woo! Well, actually, on that point, can I just say, I love the idea that you've got the George Gear lookout there and at Tagpur and Grammar.
Because who can forget George Gear?
No, but that's what. Well, here's the thing.
My grandma ran him down at her 100th birthday into the floor. It was awesome.
Well, anyway, awesome. The kids there all go and hotbox at George Gear. And they say, well, you're going up to George Gear. And I just love that this political reference.
What's hotboxing, David? I don't understand.
They go to take marijuana, Michael.
Ah, that's an excellent segue, because some of the texts we've gotten in this morning, once they found out you guys were talking to one another, is that Jacinda has said absolutely to medical marijuana, and the new legislation that they're putting out is only targeted at people who have less than a year to live, and it's still going to be illegal. Do you think this is, you know, a step in the right direction, or is it fibbing to people who
promise
things?
I'm bringing that away from my family and back into the
you're welcome.
The montage.
You're welcome, Sydney.
Thank you, sir. She will always do this sort of gradualism, because she does know that politics is the art of the possible.
That's just the thing.
But it is possible that we're going to end up frustrated with her over time, because she's just a little too prudent, a little too cautious, which was also the frustration with Helen Clark.
I'm going to put my hand up here and do something that I never thought I was about to do.
Go on. You have the floor.
So, you know how we talk to her every Monday morning?
Yeah.
Something's different about that in the last couple of weeks than it has been before.
Oh, don't be naughty. No.
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
There are certain rules you play by. Otherwise, you're not allowed on the playground.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Got to keep it real, you know.
It's got to keep
CBS
it real.
CBS policy, you know, full disclosure. Take your top off. So back to what you're saying and about the medical marijuana legislation.
I want
baby steps to get to a result that.
Yeah, but I would be really disappointed if the baby steps are treated as sufficient, so we don't have to do more. Yeah. I really, really think we've got to go a lot harder.
At the same time, the last thing I can be bothered with, I think I can be bothered with the next 3 years is. You know, when those baby steps are actually made, being consistently hearing from the opposition, no matter which party is, oh, that's not enough. It's like, just can't you see? Can't we just agree that that's a little, we're working towards, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially coming from a party that didn't do anything about it for 9 years.
Actually, I reckon there's a whole lot more political possibility there to be stronger on this. For that reason I was talking about before, you know, that age group that she's in the middle of, most people of that age have an entirely more relaxed approach to the whole question of cannabis law reform than an older generation might have. I know that there is some tendency for people, once they become parents, even in their 30s, to start getting more conservative.
Thanks for checking me in there, just by the way. to become a little bit more cautious about these things, like, hey, I don't know if I do want my kid growing up in a marijuana-soaked nation.
I'm going to turn my back on my last 20 years of loose living, and I'm going to say that
we'll have no reggae in this house.
This is not going to happen to my child. None for this.
But I mean, this is the case. Where is the opposition to the law reform coming from?
I think they may be being a little too timid, and they're seeing shadows that are they're looking at the shadows and not the height of the thing casting it.
Because, you know, if everyone's into it, you just go, sweet, sign it off. But everyone's not into it. Who are the people who are fighting against it? Is it the predictable? Is it the church? Is it, you know?
Straight people, you know?
Fuck, who is it, man? What's going on?
I think actually the Greens, and I'll probably end up saying this a lot any time we have any of these conversations, the Greens have the better policy.
But who's not into it? Who are the people that are slowing it down and making it potentially, you know, destroying the concept.
That best I can come up with is Bob McCroskey.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was going to ask. Family first and that sort of...
I'm thinking
family
that.
First, Bob.
But also that point I was just making about parents who suddenly discover a certain conservatism when it comes to the safety of their kids. So, you know, maybe...
I like your body language.
maybe they use their own, maybe their own polling is telling them that actually there's more resistance than I'm thinking, and maybe
let's talk polling.
Oh God! See, I hate it when policy is directed by polling.
I hated the election.
That's what gives you the incremental, unbelievably cautious National Party, advised by that creeping Jesus, David Farah. You know,
he's so poisonous. He's like a blowfish, one of those spiny blowfish. He's so poisonous.
And quite a few of his mates are all. It's like the high school debating team is now 40, but they haven't actually grown up in any other sense.
Matthew Hooton doing that banter with Tim.
Yeah.
Just like, you can't believe that's a real person. It's terrible. I know he probably says the same about me, but it's just like, wow, really? Yeah. I know it's getting 8 o'clock, but I mean, it's David Slack, and it's on the radio, you know.
Somebody just texted in that Julia Gillard lived with her boyfriend while she was Prime Minister.
Oh, that's
and de facto.
Welcome to de facto.
And he was a unionist.
Yeah.
She's one bad bitch.
Come down to the Antipodes. We'll show you how it's done.
I just don't get this text there. You lot are boiling the sauce. Scrooge rules.
Okay.
You lot are boiling the sauce.
Scrooge rules. Is that kind of like people who have diving boards into piles of money?
Yeah, or maybe the other Scrooge, which is the more traditional one.
Anti-Christmas.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to interpret that as... I like my money, and you guys can go and get fucked.
No, you can go and get fucked. I'll tell you what, that's the thing we've had put up with all the stuff.
Manners,
school hold
on. Or they're making a sauce out of tin tomatoes.
Stop swearing!
Thanks, Hugh.
Sorry, Hugh.
Who's that guy?
Thanks, Hugh Sunday, General Manager of 95BFM.
Yeah, David.
Sunday morning coming down.
Hey, we're going to have to press the button and, mate, David, we're just around. We could talk about longer.
All right, then, sure.
You better check. Political commentary.